Our fifth case for this morning is Zayas against Rockford Memorial Hospital. And I'm not sure how you pronounce your name. Mr. Nicoli?
Nicoli.
Nicoli. Okay. Mr. Nicoli, the floor is yours.
Your Honor. May it please the court, counsel. And my name is Joe Nicoli. I represent Margarita Zayas, who is the appellant in this case. Your Honor, Ms. Zayas is here today to respectfully request this court to reverse the district court decision granting Rockford Memorial Hospital's motion for summary judgment. In this case, there were issues of fact present that should have precluded the granting of the motion for summary judgment in regard to specifically Ms. Zayas' hostile work environment claim and her discriminatory discharge claim.
So if you're going to start with hostile work environment, there are, of course, two alternative ways one can show that. One of them is the severity of a particular incident, and the other is the pervasiveness over time of a number of incidents that might not individually be terribly severe, but over time create a hostile environment. Can we rule out the first one of those? I don't see anything in the list of allegations that you've made on behalf of Ms. Zayas that would qualify for the severe branch of that test.
I would say that there is nothing that rises to the level of a physical assault or something of that nature which the courts have held to be severe.
Or anything else. I mean, if we could just agree that we're dealing with the question whether this record taken as a whole meets the pervasive way of proving such things, then we would have to look and see whether what these allegations are individually or together is even that, is enough to affect the terms and conditions of employment so that hostile environment can be shown.
Incorrect. And this court does have to look, and the district court should have looked at, the totality of the circumstances.
But don't you think... Go ahead.
What I wanted to ask you was, you argued that it was the jury's role to determine whether the emails were appropriate. But isn't the jury's role limited to determining whether the emails were the actual reason for the termination, not whether it would have found them inappropriate?
Well, I think if the jurors, as a trier of fact, determined that the emails were appropriate, and viewing everything in context, considering the hostile work environment that Ms. Zayas had been subjected to, and if the jurors had determined that the emails were not appropriate, then that would have gone to the issue of pretext, and that would have gone to the issue as to whether or not it was the decision-maker, Mr. Grayson.
Well, also, is it just a personnel decision, isn't it?
But that should be up for the jury to decide.
The only thing that we're having the trial about is whether this was motivated by racial discrimination.
Well, this,
and whether these emails were appropriate or inappropriate is up to the personnel manager, it seems to me.
But as I said, I believe it goes to the issue of pretext. And what was the honest...
Well, there's
no emails that talks about national origin or anything. What the company's story, you know, what the company's position is that these were insubordinate emails, and employers fire people for insubordination every day. And there's nothing in the law that says you can't do that. And so if that's the real reason, exactly as Judge Rovner said, if that's the real reason, then there's simply no discrimination ground that's on the table.
But it should be up to the jury to decide what the real reason. If we're determining what the honest
the
belief
real
of the
reason,
is,
yes. But
well, if it's up to
but
the,
you're saying they ought to decide whether it's appropriate or not.
Well,
that's a different question, isn't it?
You're right, Your Honor. You're exactly right. And when we're talking about whether the emails were appropriate or not, that's a separate issue as to whether or not that was the reason, the honest belief of the decision-maker in making its determination to fire Ms. Zayas.
Well, you know, of course she pointed to no other employees who communicated in a similar manner and were not terminated.
Well, and it's our contention that Ms. Zayas, through this whole process, was treated differently. And, you know, it should be up to the jury to decide these issues in the contents of how she was being treated, not only by her supervisors.
You find no problem at all with those emails?
Your Honor, they were not. They had no profane language in it. They.
Since when is that the test?
Well, Your Honor, that's in the context of what was going on to her and with this hostile work environment. Ms. Zayas was frustrated, and she was not, as I said before, she did not believe that they were bad emails or inappropriate emails, and it should be up to the jury to decide whether or not that was an appropriate email or not.
But you can't send things to a jury unless there's evidence proffered that, if believed by the jury, would allow a finding for the opponent of summary judgment. And so that's where the absence of, you know, anybody else, you know, not in her protected class, who sent, you know, testy and sarcastic emails to the supervisor, or emails that could be seen as that. If other people got away with that kind of behavior all the time and she didn't, that would be a significant mm-hmm. piece of evidence on which a jury could say, okay, then it was her protected characteristic that caused this response. But I don't see where she's pointed to something that the jury could latch onto and say, here is the evidence for a finding of discrimination.
Well, but the problem is she was the only Puerto Rican in this department. And through this whole time frame, she was the only Puerto Rican in this department. And she was the only rated ultrasound technician that was subjected to this type of treatment from not only her supervisor, who participated in this, but also by her coworkers. And she made various complaints, including to the director of diversity of the hospital. And this was not remedied. And so, taking all this into context...
What did she have to complain about? That's what I don't see in this case.
Well, what she has to complain about is her supervisor generally ignored her. Her supervisor was determined to... And this is the Human Resource Department, Mary K. Hart, who said this in a meeting, that it seemed that some of Mr. Griesman's emails were taunting her, that she was singled out in a meeting, that one of her coworkers almost got physical with her, that she made a comment with the Kimberly Carroll incident, that why isn't the door being closed? Is it because I'm Puerto Rican? And she was the one who was disciplined as a result of that.
Well, that is a pretty in-your-face comment.
But I think it goes to show that there was friction here based on the national origin. Because why else would she make that comment? And she's sitting in this office. She was supposed to close the door. Kimberly Carroll did not close the door. And so she asked the question, why aren't you closing the door? Is it because I'm Puerto Rican? And she was the one who was disciplined because of that. Your Honor, I see I'm into my rebuttal time. And if I'd
like to reserve that would be fine.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Mr. King.
Good morning. May it please the court, counsel. I'm Alan King. I'm here on behalf of Rockford Memorial Hospital. It's obviously our position that the summary judgment decision should be affirmed in its entirety. Just starting with the termination, as your honors have already pointed out, there's absolutely no dispute of fact in this case that the termination decision was based on these repeated unprofessional and insubordinate and disrespectful emails that Ms. Zayas sent to her manager and continued to do even after being informally counseled about that and then disciplined about that.
So was there any evidence at all in the record of other employees who had been terminated or what the reasons would have been or email expectations on the part of Rockford Hospital?
Yeah, I mean, the only evidence was that both Mr. Griesman and Ms. Hart from the Human Resources Department testified that in their entire lengthy careers at Rockford Memorial Hospital, they had never seen any other employees and either emails or otherwise communicate with their supervisor in that fashion. So clearly there was no similarly situated employees at all to be treated more favorably or not. And additionally, there was no evidence that would call into question whether Mr. Griesman genuinely believed that these emails were offensive and insubordinate. And as I think your honors have alluded to, you know, I would just respectfully submit that any contention that these emails were appropriate for an employee to send to her boss, his or her boss, in any environment is disingenuous at the minimum. These emails were outrageous, and I don't think I have to detail those as the district court did a good job doing that.
Most you could say is, I guess, reading these emails, it's not hard to see why an employer would consider them out of line. I suppose if we had read a number of emails and all they said was, have a nice day, you know, we might think that there was some problem there, but these emails aren't that.
Right.
Is there any evidence other than those allegedly taunting emails that Griesman was supposed to have sent that would indicate an effort to incite her to engage in behavior that could get her fired?
There's not at all. And in fact, plaintiff neither in this court or below has ever pointed to any email that was allegedly taunting by Mr. Griesman. There is no such email. I would frankly defy anyone to find in this record an email in which Mr. Griesman taunts her. To the contrary, if you look at these insubordinate emails and the back and forth between the two of them, Mr. Griesman is consistently being kind and tolerant, and he's being, and that favor is being returned with a torrent of insubordination. So there is no such evidence in the record of that. There's additional evidence in the record that's
wasn't
strong.
The issue for us is whether Griesman actually thought she was being insubordinate or the
right.
emails were inappropriate. It's
right.
not up to us to second-guess his judgment about
that. Absolutely. It's obviously well established that the court doesn't sit as a super personnel department. The issue on pretext is whether Mr. Griesman honestly believed them to be insubordinate, and obviously he did. So respectfully, I mean, counsel continues with the refrain that the jury should decide these issues. Well, that's, you know, fortunately or unfortunately not the law. I mean, that's throwing the entire summary judgment apparatus out. He has to prove his case under that apparatus. There's no one's
point to evidence that a jury could credit.
Absolutely. Sufficient evidence, Your Honor, which he's not done here. So just very briefly, it's also notable that Mr. Griesman was the one who interviewed and hired Ms. Zayas at a time when she was already in the protected age group and obviously of the same national origin. Mr. Griesman is also in the protected age group. He supervised her entire career. He had no problem acknowledging her good technical skills.
Yeah, she had good technical skills. I'd like to switch for a minute.
Yeah.
To the hostile work environment.
Yeah.
No one of the things that she's pointed to strikes me, as I said earlier, as the kind of thing that would qualify by itself for the severity idea. But the Chinese water torture, so to speak, you know, the drip, drip, drip of slights can really get to people. It can cause them maybe to write rude emails even. And she does paint a picture of a lot of small things.
Yeah, a number of very small things, but I think the reality is that it, even collectively, as the district court found and counsel mentioned, the district court should have looked at the totality of the evidence. Obviously, the district court did, and what the district court said expressly was none of these things, either individually or taken together, rise to the level of an actionable hostile work environment.
What about the ultrasound text repeatedly referring to her as Maria, even though that's not her name? And
Ms. Zayas testified that happened a few times. She couldn't remember the first time it happened, and she couldn't remember the last time it happened. I don't have an explanation for that, but I don't think using an incorrect name on a few occasions in the 11 years that she worked there aids an environment that is permeated with discriminatory ridicule or the types of things that this court has found to be actionable. So I don't think any of the things, even taken together, have a discriminatory character or purpose to them, which is another failing in the drip, drip, drip analysis of these incidents.
Is there any evidence that the diversity people or the human resources people at the hospital ever counseled anybody or ever, you know, tried to say, you know, we have a non-discriminatory environment here?
Absolutely, Judge. A few things. Both Ms. Hart from Human Resources and Ms. Smith, who was the Director of Diversity, met with Ms. Zayas numerous times to try to address her concerns, which were presented as essentially conflicts, personality conflicts between her and her coworkers.
Did they meet with the coworkers and say, cut out the Maria language, or, you know, in any other way counsel them?
Well, there was no evidence that the Maria issue came up before the case was filed, so the answer to that would be no. One of the things she alleges is that back in 2009, or even before, she's not sure what year, is that one of her coworkers made a statement in reference to a Hispanic patient that something along the lines of that people should learn English if they're going to live in the United States. And it's undisputed that she brought that to Mr. Griezmann's attention, and the very next day he spoke with that coworker, Pam Hodge. He told her that Ms. Zayas found that to be offensive, counseled her to be more careful in the language that she uses. So he did do that. Even more significantly, Mr. Griezmann tried repeatedly to meet with Ms. Zayas. It's undisputed that they had a meeting scheduled between Ms. Smith, Mr. Griezmann, and Ms. Zayas. Ms. Zayas canceled that meeting inexplicably. And even after the cancellation, Mr. Griezmann sent her email saying, hey, I still want to meet with you. And Ms. Zayas never responded to any of those emails. So they did a lot. Not only that, they offered to her as a solution, and she thought it was a good idea, and she agreed to it, that they stagger her work hours to minimize the chance for friction between herself and her coworkers. She thought that was a great idea. They did do that. You know, we don't believe that there was anything that rises to the level of an actionable hostile work environment, but even if there was, there was certainly was no negligence in preventing it. They had strong policies, anti-harassment policies. They trained their managers. They met with her repeatedly. They addressed the concerns that came up, and they proposed some solutions. So for those reasons, and I see my time is running out, it's our position that the decision of the district court should be affirmed, and I'd certainly answer any more questions if you have them.
Thank you very much. Mr. Neakley, anything further?
First, to address the taunting email from Mr. Griezmann, there was a meeting between in April of 2010 with Ms. Zayas and Mr. Griezmann and Mary Kay Hart, where Ms. Kay Hart said, reviewing some of your emails, Mr. Griezmann, and it seems like you're taunting her in some of these. And Mr. Griezmann, at his deposition, which we pointed out in our statement of facts, acknowledged that he recalls that conversation. And so there were those emails. Second, in regard to the argument that Mr. Griezmann was the person who hired Ms. Zayas, that argument may be more significant if this was an instance where someone was hired, you know, within 6 months and then fired, or a year. But this was an 11-year employment. And so a lot of things can happen in 11 years. And a person's mind can change for a lot of different reasons in 11 years. And so I think in this context, it's not as a significant argument as it could be in other situations. And third, Your Honor, in regard to the counseling that you brought up, Ms. Zayas made a comment that to another employee that she thought that they were not closing the door because she was Puerto Rican. And you think that that would have been a red flag to somebody. And it wasn't. And Ms. Hart said, well, I knew she said something. She characterized it as something about people hating Puerto Ricans, but she just, it was out of context and she didn't think much of it. And Mr. Griezmann certainly didn't follow up on it. And instead, it was Ms. Zayas who was the one who was terminated. So with all this together and the totality of circumstances, we believe there was a hostile work environment. And we ask that you reverse the district court's decision.
All right. Thank you. Thanks to both counsel. We'll take the case under advisement.